And away we go. It is Friday morning, Getaway Friday, July the 30th, 2021, 16 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into The Pastor Spot, a weekly radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. This show can be heard live every Friday morning at 11:10 a.m., Sunday morning at 8:10 a.m., and Wednesday at 3:10 p.m. Also now here on WWGH Radio, you can catch the Community Christian Fellowship Sunday Sermon every Sunday at 12:15. Also, archive shows of this program, The Pastor Spot, dating back to March of 2018, are available on the website, wwgh1071.com. Go to Program Archives, and I believe The Pastor Spot is the first one under there. And now we'll turn it over to the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker.
Hey, good morning, everyone. I do want to also say that we're also sponsored by Jeff's Bicycle Shop in Prospect, Ohio, and Mid-Ohio Insurance Solutions, which is all in the surrounding area. Boy, what a great week it's been. This has been Bible School Week for us in Prospect. This week it was held at the Prospect United Methodist Church. And although all the churches come together, I think our church had, our particular church, Community Christian Fellowship, had 9 workers there this week. And it's really great we were able to come together in that one thing once a year that we do together and bring kids to the community. And I get a rough count in my head, and I'm thinking we were somewhere around 80 kids, which is pretty good, I think. And the kids just had a blast. I was talking to their pastor the other day, yesterday actually, during Bible school, and we said, wouldn't it be great to see kids having this much fun every day and doing this kind of stuff, because they're really excited to be there. And today's the last day, and none of them are ready for it to be over with. So I would encourage people to find things for kids to do. It's important. What I'd like to kind of do today is talk a little bit about some of the ministries of Community Christian Fellowship, because we really don't get into that. And the reason that I want to bring those up is not because of any kind of grandstanding or tweaking of a horn or anything of that nature, but just so people know what we do and people can get plugged in if they choose to. And there's just so many different things we're not a large church. We're obviously in a small town, and so how, you know, you're going not to be a huge large church. One thing that we did in Prospect years ago when we started, we had to make a decision. Do we look for property out somewhere and do we build? Normally, churches will like to find like a 5-acre spot where they can have activities and do things, and they'll build on it. Or do we find a place in town? And we made the decision, and it was a conscious decision, and it was a prayerful decision to stay in town, and we did. And we eventually, after about 5 years of being a church, we were able to acquire the old Zion UCC Church in Prospect, and that's been our home now for going on 10 years, so we've been there a while, and we've made a lot of changes, and it's just it's really worked well for us. But one of the main reasons we did that was because we wanted people to be able to walk on foot to church, for kids to come that, you know, without having to go down a road somewhere on their bicycle or whatever the case may be, where people can actually, we wanted to plug in and be in the community, be in the church in the community, rather than at some place where someone had to pile in the car and just go. Now, we do have, obviously, a lot of people that have to drive and do drive, but we get a lot of that foot traffic, too, and we get a lot of daily activity in town that way and being the church that we're called and meant to be. But some of our activities from the very beginning, we used to run a full-time clothing pantry, but we found that the need wasn't as great as you might think. And we found that it's better to have clothing available when people need it rather than having a pantry where you have hours that people come to regularly. And with that, if there's ever a need, if there's a fire or a great need, we have things for each age group, boy and girl and adult of people. We do that. We still have that with the clothing ministry. We do a backpack program. Of course, we're in Elgin School District, so we take the whole district, and on weekends, the kids are sent home on Friday. with a 2-day backpack lunch that should last them, get them through a couple of days. And that's been we started that clear back and when we just did Prospect Elementary, and we started that probably 10 years ago, and it's been very successful and worked very well. We've gone as high as 270 lunches a week, and right now we're more in the 150 to 160. And the parents contact us, they have a form they can fill out, and we work directly with the parents on who gets it and if they need it. And there's no question either about if they don't have to qualify for it, let's put it that way. If you desire for your kid to have that lunch brought home on weekend, you sign the thing and they get the lunch on that weekend. And it goes, it is just through the elementary ages. So we take care of the kids that way. And it's just been great. It's been a good ministry. My wife, Shirley, is the one that heads up that ministry. And it's just been very successful over the years. And I'm sure that it's kept a lot of kids that needed food on the weekend with food in their belly. And that's one thing we do is if people have a need and they need food, we try to accommodate that need. There is a monthly food pantry at the Lutheran Church across the street from us that people can come to every month. That, of course, that's more of a pantry where there's qualifications you have to meet to after the first time, I believe that is. But I think those are Mid-Ohio. Those are state qualifications through Mid-Ohio Food Bank. But so they have that over there to give people food for the month. We try to take care of the kids. We used to do a food pantry. We had a huge food pantry that we did every month. And we found that it was far more effective and getting to more bellies if we just did the thing with the kids. And we did that sometimes through trial and error. You see what works and what's being utilized. And we tried it one time. We tried having some cooking classes and to teach people how to cook with basic staples. And we couldn't get any interest. I thought that was interesting. We could not get any interest in that. And it was shortly after that we went to being in the Lutheran Church was carrying the ball, had picked up and started carrying the ball across the street. We thought, you know what, let's just do something where we can really reach kids. And so that's something we've been able to do. I know the school's very appreciative of it because they see firsthand the kids that come in on Monday that maybe parents weren't home all weekend. Maybe there really wasn't anything in the house that weekend, whatever the case is. But they see kids, and you can tell the difference between a kid that comes in Monday that hadn't eaten all weekend and a kid that comes in that has had something to eat. And so that's a very important ministry that we do. Another one that we just, a matter of fact, with one of our newest ministries, which is every Wednesday morning from 6:30 to 9:30 in the morning, we have free coffee and pastries out in front of the church. And it's flavored coffees, iced coffee, whatever you'd want. And each, we don't charge for it, but we take donations. And last week, the donation was for we called it our Christmas in July Wednesday. And they had Christmas cookies. We were giving people Christmas cookies. But they were, I should say, the ladies running it. And we took donations for our Christmas giveaway every year, which you're familiar with. And one little girl actually saw that we were doing it on the website. And there's someone that they're new to the area. They don't come to the church. And this little girl brought in, emptied her piggy bank in a baggie and brought that in. And that's just wonderful to see kids understanding. But that'll lead me into, I guess, what is our next ministry. And that is our Christmas time, Christmas blessing. And that's something we do every year and have for quite some time, where people that we encourage them to let us know ahead of time so that we get an idea of how many we're going to have. But basically they come in on a Saturday, which is usually a couple weeks before Christmas, and they come in about 9 o'clock in the morning and they register the amount of kids they have, the need that they have, and then they come into the sanctuary. And I do a very small Christmas message for them. And that precedes them shopping. And we have the church decorated up beautifully. We have one side of it opened up with rows of tables that have gifts for every age, boy and girl. And it's done very organized and neatly. We have our elves, of course, that help the people shop, and each person that's shopping individually has someone that goes with them with their list of their age group and what they have. And they have a certain amount of items based on, we usually base that on what comes in versus what we see that day, and it may shift. And they come in and we help them shop and go all the way through everything. And they shop, and at the end, we have tables with some wonderful volunteers that wrap and package everything and wrap it for them. So they can actually leave that morning with their Christmas gifts for their kids already wrapped and ready to go under the tree. And I think that's really neat. It gives kids a wonderful opportunity to get something for Christmas where they might not otherwise. And, you know, the community's taken, the community reaches out and helps donate quite a bit to that. Different people and throughout the community, individuals, even our fire department usually gives us $200 a year towards hats and gloves, because we always have plenty of hats and gloves. And then that day we also open up our clothing pantry for coats and clothing and what people may need, so they can actually go from the church getting the toys and whatnot and gifts, and they can go over and do that. So that's always a huge success. And we usually end up providing Christmas for anywhere between, it's been as low as 65 and it's been as high as 120 kids. And that's a lot. So that's really a big thing that we do each and every year. We do what's called, I'll back up a few months. We have the our worship in the park in October. And in October, it's always the first week of end of October, and we set up and we have fall food and games and all kinds of things for people to do and bring their kids and activities and all the food they can stuff in their belly, and we have music, and it's all free, and it's in the Prospect Park. So that's always the first weekend in October, and I think that's always a great ministry for people too. And man, the ministries just go on and on. Everyone's involved in so many different things in the church and reaching out. We do a thing called Team Kid, which Team Kid starts shortly after the school year, and it ends when baseball season starts cranking up, because you're going to lose the kids to practice. And those are from kids that go all the way down as low as preschool, all the way up to sixth grade. And that is a time where they come on every other Tuesday night, and I believe it's, someone will correct me that it's not, but it's every other Tuesday night, I believe, or if it's Tuesday, first Tuesday and third Thursday. I'll have to correct that. I'll get that to you guys when we're ready to crank up again. But it's a fun time. It's a couple hours. It runs from 6:30 to 8 o'clock, and the parents can bring the kids in and drop them off, and they have a wonderful lesson out front with Miss Kelly, which is she's so animated. It's unbelievable. The kids love her. And then they go from them, they break up into individual groups, and they have activities and snack time. The kids love the snacks. And what's really neat about that, it really gives moms a lot of, and dads, a chance sometimes to have a couple minutes without the kids, or even run to the grocery store, do something. So it's a great time for that too, in that ministry. And then we have the ministry called Pizza with Pastor. And that follows the same nights as Team Kid, because that way the kids maybe that are older than, once they're above the sixth grade level, they hit middle school and high school. That is where I meet with the kids, and we have pizza, and we talk about anything that's on their mind. I do keep it, you know, guided, but anything. It's great for them to have an outlet. A lot of times with things that happen at school that are current, you know, and we've talked about many things. We've talked about, you know, kids that passed away in car accidents and all these things that impact kids. And we've talked about COVID and how they feel about that. And it gives kids an outlet and a chance to talk. And also gives me to build a rapport with them, which kids need a rapport with adults. They truly do. So that's another activity. And then we do this really neat thing on you at least once a month and sometimes twice a month with our youth group. A lot of times they meet at the church on Sunday evenings at 6:30. But what we try to do is we try to get the different adults in our church to, rather than having the same leader every time, we have different adults step in and decide to have something, whatever they want to do. Sometimes they will say, I'll volunteer and I'll take the kids all for ice cream. And then they'll have a lesson at the same time. Some adults have them come out. They've done oh my word, they've gone swimming, they've done paintballing, they've done all kinds of just fun stuff. Sometimes they just have a big campfire and a wiener roast and hang out. But it gives these kids something different to do. And once again, what it also does, it opens up an opportunity for those kids to meet older people in the church that they normally would not have a relationship with. You know, when I was younger, some of the older people in our church when I was a kid, I learned and gained the most respect for throughout my life, and really felt like they were people that, whether they knew it or not, in my mind they mentored me in a way, and I knew they were people that I could trust. And even when I lost contact them with a lot of them as I was older in life, I never lost the respect for them or the admiration for them throughout their life because of the getting to know them as young people, even though as an adult they weren't part of my life. And I think that if we can do that with some of these young people, it's extremely, very, very important. But, you know, the activities in our church, understandably to us, are not something we do just to get people in the door. The activities are things that we do where we're trying always to impact lives. And we're always trying to attract young people towards Jesus Christ. And that's the main focus that we have. And we want young people to feel secure. We want adults to feel secure, to feel like they have a place. We have different prayer groups on Wednesday night and Bible studies. We call them Bible studies. At a couple different homes and at the church, where people can come and they just sit and we discuss things openly, we read, and it's a great time for people to understand and get to know each other and get to know the Word of God. We even have Lauren Van Gundy's only 22, and she has a young women's Bible study at her house for young ladies her age. A lot of them that she went to school with, she have been invited and have come. And it's a great time for them and learn to grow together. And she operates that at her home. So there's just so many neat things that we do. And, you know, I know that as we're talking here, I'm going to remember more because they're going to slip my mind. There's just so many of them. We do a lot of this Sunday night, which is really cool. We're doing a film called In the Image of God at 5 o'clock. And it's about how God made man and woman and how wonderfully he made them. And it helps us to understand how we were so wonderfully made by God. And that'll be at 5 o'clock. And then we'll take a break halfway through it and have pizza and then finish watching and be done by 7:30. Now, next Sunday is really cool for the young people. They're actually leaving during the Sunday school hour. And they're headed to Mohican. And they're going to go on a canoe trip, and that's why they're leaving during Sunday school hour. They're going to have a canoe trip, they're going to eat there, they're going to have a Bible lesson there while they're there, and they're going to canoe down the Mohican River. So that ought to be fun for a lot of young people. And in all these things we do, I will point out too, what we really try to do is, obviously we want people to be responsible and pay their way for things when they can, but if they can't, we find a way they can. Because the worst thing that you can do is have young people that really want to be involved and they just have no money. And everything costs stuff today. It's so sad, the cost of how things have gone up. I can remember summer camp being like $35, and now it's $350. You know, and to ask a parent to have $350, that's kind of difficult. But we do try to do a lot of these things to keep people invited, excited, and looking for, realizing that the church isn't a dead place. One thing that I would say that we're able to do by staying as small as we are, and I've often, we just had this discussion the other day, I've always believed that when we get to a certain number, it's time to split, so to speak, to help another church that needs to grow or to start another church where one needs to be. But by not having a lot of overhead, which when you're not that large, you don't have nearly the overhead, it allows us to plug more into ministry and have those funds there for that. You know, I've often said, wow, I don't understand how some of these churches do it. When you have a music pastor, a pastor of finance, or, you know, financial pastor, administrative pastor, a lead pastor, a secretary, an undersecretary, you know, before you know it, you've got seven or eight people, maybe more, that are on a full-time payroll. How do you do ministry? You can function, you can keep that church going, keep all the pumps going, but how much footwork is there in the community? How much shoe leather's out there hitting the street? And what I like about not being huge, as things come in, and our people are very giving, they're very, very giving, as those funds can come in, we can take care of necessities. Now, we do have large necessities. We just put a roof on the church. That was a necessity. But normally, in our church, people give above and beyond their normal giving to cover those things when they're needed. And it's just a matter of asking them. But, you know, we have those monies available that, you know, if someone has a need, whatever that need may be, sometimes people have particular needs or a hardship in the community, and we'll find out. And I've even been contacted by people, you know, maybe in the school that knows a family that's having a hard time, and they know they can call us. And then they know that we'll be there for them and help them in that way. And it's such an important thing to be there for people and to help people to grow and to know that God loves them and that we love them because God loves them. And we're commanded to love. And it's not, you know, we're doing this because we have to. No, it's doing this because God puts the care in our heart for people. And it's not a matter of beating people over the head with you've got to believe what we believe. They do need to believe what we believe. We believe that. But you know, we need to show people that we love them and care about them. And if we just stay behind the walls and have a great production and look good and sound good and give people some exciting word to go home for the day, I don't think that we're meeting the needs of the community. And to be honest, Scott, this radio show is part of one of the great outreaches of the church that we do, and is to reach people in that same way, to meet people where they're at. And if you've ever noticed from our show and the topics that we do, a lot of the things I will talk about are things to help people become encouraged and get up from where they are and maybe make a change in their life or make that hard decision or start maybe thinking more about their parenting or thinking more about their relationship with their spouse or those things to encourage people to get up and go. You never ever, no one ever learns from being beat down. That's called slavery. That's called forced behavior. People change, truly change in their heart from being encouraged and getting that encouraging word. You know, a school teacher that screams all the time doesn't teach her kids well. A school teacher that talks to their children, and you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We've all had those teachers. And, we lost connection again. Anyway, so it's kind of interesting. Some interesting things we do. What do you think, Scott?
Well, it's great to have the outreach. I think that's important because I think I have heard it time and time again when people stop going to church. One of the main reasons that I hear is because they feel that they're not involved. They're not included. There's no one-on-one connection. And I believe a lot of time that has to do with size.
I think it does. Oh, yeah, it certainly does. But, you know, a lot of times people, when they do leave and feel like, oh, I'm not included, a lot of people are afraid to take that step of inclusion. I can tell you many years ago, I was in a church, and I was always hearing people saying, you know, we're the only ones doing anything. We're the only ones doing anything. And I made the comment to them. I said, you know, I hear that all the time, but are you asking other people? Or are you just carrying the burden on yourself? Well, we don't want to force people. I said, I know a lady in this church that I bet if you asked her, she'd be all over doing stuff. And they did. And she has become probably, up until recent years with her health, she was one of the most active people. When they needed people in the church doing something, she was there, but she was asked. And I think that sometimes you have to ask without pressure. Let them know, warmly invite them, but don't back them into a corner and say, you need to be here. One of the great things we do is we're talking about ministry here, is we have a men's breakfast once a month. And it starts at 8 o'clock. And the reason it starts at 8 o'clock is because a lot of times moms want dads home in the morning and getting some things done for the day or doing things. And so out of respect for those waiting at home, it's at 8 o'clock. We try to wrap it up no later than 9:30. And we cook breakfast to the church, and then the men sit around, and they have a wonderful discussion. It's a discussion time, and we have some neat topics to come up. And it gives all the men a chance to talk about issues in their life, issues on their heart. And it's really turned into a great thing. And it's not our church specific. Everyone's invited. So guys come from other churches, from other places. And it's really a neat ministry. That's wrong. Ted heads that up every once a month. Ted Sautery does the cooking for that, usually has some other guys helping. But then we also have women's breakfast. Now, what we do different on women's breakfast, it starts at 9 o'clock, and they come in at 9. But in the women's breakfast, the men do the cooking. So that women don't have to do that, so they can come in. And I usually go back to in my office during the time that they're there, and I can hear them out there laughing and having a ball and talking. And, you know, that's just wonderful to see them be able to come together and do that, you know, maybe get some stuff off their chest. Because of these type of ministries, we have the ladies are all hooked together, and different groups are hooked together by phone or by maybe a Facebook thing that just has those specifics in it. And when there's a crisis in a family or something they're really struggling with, they'll email and it'll just go to those people, or they'll do we also do a thing, a phone blast to the church. I can leave any message with a particular group or with all of them. But it's created an environment to where we all have 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 15 people that if we have a need, we can immediately let them know. And that's great community. And, you know, always working towards those type of goals and doing those things. And it's just, it's something that we believe in our heart that what we need to do is focus on outreach. I mean, it's just so important. I read a book years ago by Steve Sogren. Actually, David Wheeler introduced us to this book and to the author, who was a friend of his. And Steve Sogren originally had been very active in starting in the vineyard in California, and then he started the vineyard in Cincinnati, which was huge. They're the church many years ago. You might remember they got in a little bit of trouble because with the city, because they were going around feeding parking meters, and the city didn't like that. But they thought, you know, this is a ministry we can do to keep people from getting tickets. So they were going out feeding parking meters. But anyway, do you remember that?
I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, Steve eventually went to Florida and started a huge work there. But he wrote this book called Irresistible Evangelism, which was introduced to me in seminary class through David Wheeler, who was teaching at the time. And it was called, it's reaching people, but it's in a way that people invite you into their lives through ministry. And it's doing some of these things. I'll never forget the story that Steve told. It was in Cincinnati, and it was Larry Flynt's brother. I can't remember his name. You remember Larry Flynt,
of course,
from the Hustler magazine, and his getting shot and the whole thing. Anyway, his brother had started a chain of adult bookstores, and there were some people out front protesting. And honestly, you know, I don't agree with the bull. I don't like pornography either. I think it's wrong, and we shouldn't. I don't like seeing it out there. But they were out there, and they were protesting, but with some really mean-spirited, you know, God hates you type stuff. And this Steve and his wife were watching this. Kind of bothered him. So Steve said, "Come on, honey, we got something to do." And he goes in and he gets some buckets and scrub brushes and whatnot, and walks down there, walks right through the picket line, and walks in and said, told the people working the store, said, "We're here to clean the toilets." And went in. People thought that the owner had sent them, and they went in there and they cleaned their bathrooms. They came back out, told them who they were, told them that God loved them, and walked back out. And they continued to do that, and they started doing that on a regular basis, and actually opened the door. It opened the door with them to have quality conversation with people, to lead them away from darkness instead of throwing up that wall of screaming and hate. And the funny story was, a few years later, Steve was on an airplane, and Larry Flynt's brother was right there sitting next to him, or in the seat over. And he looked over at him and says, "I know you. You're that toilet cleaning guy." And it struck up a conversation, and he said that so impressed him, the attitude versus the other attitude. And, you know, that's just one of the many things, examples that I can give, that, look, we don't always have to show people hate. If you want someone to change their life, and you, the reason you want to do it is not so they're just like you or so that you're right and you proved it. The reason you want people to change your life is because you know that what you have in your life is something so great that you want them to have it. And you know that what is going on in their life is detrimental, it's not good for them, and it's going to take them down a road that is never good. You know, the interesting thing about pornography is that pornography is this very scary thing because, first of all, it escalates. The endorphins that are tripped by what you see, you constantly have to have more and more and deeper for it to affect you. You see the same thing over and over again. It's just like in school today, what some of the kids wear, some of the young ladies wear clothes-wise. When I was in school, we'd have been freaked out. But the young people, they see it every day, so it's nothing to them. It's that same type of effect. And pornography always escalates. The other problem with it is that you can't get rid of it. You can walk away from a heroin needle. You can walk away from a beer bottle. You can walk away from a lot of things. But the problem is images stay in your mind. And that's something. Hey, I can remember a dirty image from when I was 10 years old. And they stay in your mind. And the more that you put in your mind, the more that it's there, and it's the harder to walk away from it. Another interesting thing about pornography, most people that have been serial killers, that have done just egregious crimes with women and sexual things, they will all take you back to their start when they're interviewed with pornography as a child or as an older person. So pornography is a very dangerous thing. And I didn't mean to make light of it by what those people are doing. But what I'm saying is it was the approach to, hey, look, I care about you. Let me help you out of this world and into the world you need to be in. And that's the approach we need to take as Christians. And you can't take that without having that personal touch with people. It has to be there. You can't do it on a big screen. You can't do it on a live feed. You got to do it one-on-one. You know, you can talk about caring all day long, but if there's no personal touch, nobody feels it. And that's what we strive at Community Christian Fellowship to do, and to be those people. And yeah, we drop the ball sometimes. I know a lady right now that I better call when I leave the show, because I haven't talked to her in about a week, and she's a shut-in, and she's probably wondering. I know others have talked to her, but she waits to hear from the pastor. And it is hard when you have a busy schedule, but we need to be conscious of people that need our personal attention. I tried to call someone last night that was in somewhat of a crisis in their family, and I wasn't able to reach them, but at least I got their voicemail, and they know that I tried to contact them and care about them. So,
well, you know, it's interesting. When I brought up that not feeling included thing as a reason a lot of people leave the church, the one thing I've heard more than anything else is not necessarily being included in projects. The big one is, and it's mostly from older people, just because of the circumstance, but if they're ill and nobody comes to visit them or calls or send a card, that bothers people.
Oh, it does. Especially if they're in a church that they've been in for many, many years, and they feel that, you know, that's somewhere that they think that is family.
We just say, where you been?
Where you been? Yeah, that is difficult. We try to meet those needs as we can. I've got one fellow in the church that he and his wife go to Costco a lot. And Costco has these great chickens that are pre-roasted. They put in a bag and take home with you. And every time they go to Costco, there's an older couple by Richwood that they get a chicken or two and take them, because they know they love those roasted chickens. And I think that those are just things that you do to reach people. And sometimes Well, I'll give you a good example. Sometimes it's not even people in your church. We reach out to a lot of older people that I told you last week there was a fellow that passed away that lives up the street. He hadn't go to our church, but I was in the hospital, University Hospital, with he and his wife and his family, visiting, encouraging, praying with them because they're in the community. And I think that in a smaller setting, a lot of times you can do that so much easier in a smaller town where you get to know people. Matter of fact, last night I'm on the, you know, a chaplain in the fire department, and we did honor guard for his visitation, and that was really a neat thing to do. First time I stood honor guard, and boy, that'll work on your legs and your feet, trust me. But that was great thing to do with his family. And once again, that was something where the community came together. Those people in the community that are on the department that come together for them. And it's something that we can drive such joy. And even though we're not looking for joy, we can drive so much joy from helping other people or just doing a kind gesture. I don't know what else to say.
Well, I think that kind gestures are very, very important and becoming less prevalent. You know, there was a day, and it's hard to explain this to people, when somebody moved into the neighborhood brought them things.
Welcome wagon.
Exactly. That's welcome gone. That's,
well, it's almost impossible to do welcome wagon now.
Well, I think with food it is, because people are very leery. But, you know, it's interesting, because recently somebody brought, the homeless is always a problem. And somebody brought up the idea of, let's try to raise money for the homeless for a month. And I thought, well, that's a good idea, but people's tendency is to give food, and it's hard to do that. But people need things like soap, toothpaste, socks. That stuff's okay.
You know, I think I mentioned on the show, I think I mentioned it a week or so ago, that one of the guys in the church had an idea that he came up with and announced to the church. He came up with it a while back. They go on vacation a lot, and he said, you know, what if we could put a bag together that when we see people on vacation, wherever we are in the country or out of the country, we can give it to them. So anyway, we started putting these bags together that have a lot of necessities. There's socks, there's, what do they got in there? There's socks, there's toothpaste, soap, some cleaning things, whatnot. But there's some basic need things, and then there's also some candy bars, all these kind of things, and also some, I think they put a Bible in there, some other, but there's some really neat things in these bags that are in backpacks you can put on your back, and we recently just put all these together, so they started taking them on vacation about 3 weeks ago, and I had a fella tell me they just got back from a trip out west, and they ran into a homeless young lady that was just so thrilled to get that, and gave it to them. And I think you're right. Those are the kind of things that people cherish. I can, hey, look, not only did I get this stuff in it, but I got a new backpack that I can put other stuff in to keep in. And people forget that homeless people sometimes, they would love to wash up a little bit. So let's put a big thing of wet wipes in there for them. You know, that's a great thing. Sunscreen, that's a huge thing to have in there for them. But different things that... even those little drink mix things, you know, they can get water in most places, but wouldn't it be nice if they could flavor it? Just some kind things that we can do. Blankets in the wintertime, huge ministry. And we have a lady that does Christmas blankets at Christmas time. You know, it's just important that we learn that we need to not only tell people we love them, but show it.
You know what's funny to me? Funny and ironic. One of the places where you will find young people reading the most on their own, not forced reading, is prison. Now, why does this happen? Well, it's because they have a lot of time on their hands.
Nothing else to do.
Nothing else to do. But you know what? The homeless, in a certain way, face that same problem.
They do.
And if you give the homeless a bag of chips, well, I'm sure that'll be appreciated. But if you got a book... And you can get books now just about anywhere, cheap as could be, because of the Kindles and so on. But a homeless person doesn't have a Kindle. So you give them a book, the bag of chips will get eaten, it'll be appreciated, but the bag gets thrown away. The book doesn't.
You remember the book, The Call of the Wild, about the wolf?
I do.
A lady, a friend of mine, just yesterday brought me one. She had... I like to get those kind of books, and I get them, and I give them to kids to read. And they you got to find a kid that will read it, for sure. Some kids look at a book and they, what am I going to do with this? But if they can sit down and read those things, a friend of mine a while back just sent me a book, Misty of Chincoteague, which was one of my favorites as a kid, about the wild ponies in Chincoteague Island. And being able to have my little grandson read that was wonderful.
Well, you know, the irony of this is last week somebody gave me a pile of books, and in that pile there was a book called Three Pies Hot. And I thought, what is this? And I looked at this, and it was a bound book. I mean, this was a real book about a pizza shop that was in Marion. And it was here in the 70s and 80s. It was the forerunner to Domino's. They were the first people to do 30-minute delivery.
Really?
And how this business collapsed. I had never heard anything about it. And here's a whole book. And I found the author, and he's going to be on Monday.
Oh, I'll have to listen
yeah,
to that.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this story. I've looked. This book is fascinating. But you know what? It's a book, and you would never find that on a Kindle. You would never spot that. And now this book is great.
You know, there's a book out, too, that you can used to be able to get at Prospect Pharmacy. I don't know if it's still there. And it's about the Hanley fire engines. And that were built right in Prospect, Ohio. They were some of the first. They built the first fireboats that were actually on display in the Potomac for the state fair, I believe it was, in Washington one year. And they were such a forerunner to all our new fire engines and everything right there in Prospect, Ohio. Matter of fact, from what I understand, is some of the jet propulsion that was made for those is still in use today. And I think those are some of the coolest things to read and find out what goes on right in our own backyard that we don't even know about. But those are pretty neat things, and I think kids need to learn that and know about that stuff.
Well, that's the important thing is I think whether people are still around or not, you know, we look at national history a lot, and that's important. But I hear people even talk about Ohio history. That's
but local history.
Local history is very, very important.
But see, that gives you pride in your community.
Well, sure it does.
And that's the great thing about it.
But you know what it also gives you? It gives you, especially when it comes to individual people, it gives you, if they could do it, I could do it. They came from the same area I did. They lived over on blah, blah, blah street.
Mary Ellen Withrow grew up right down the road, and I go by where she grew up all the time. And here she was, Treasurer of the United States. Mary Ellen was on right before this show, and bless her heart, she still comes in, even though we have to help her down the stairs.
That's right. That's right. That's
and,
right.
She still comes in, and she's willing to come in and be interviewed. And but you know, there how many? You know, that's Marion history too.
Well, you think about Marion just in general. If you live in Marion County, we have had, and I find one community I still have never found it in the world: President, First Lady, Treasurer of the United States, and a Miss America, all from Marion, Ohio.
All from Marion, Ohio.
Yeah, I don't know that that's ever happened. Well, first of all, there's only 45 other chances because we've only had 45 presidents.
That's right.
So
I doubt it's happened anywhere else.
Isn't that interesting?
Not in that combination.
And isn't that interesting?
Good. I don't know. Hey, we are Community Christian Fellowship at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. Come and visit us. Love you guys. Have a good day.
Remember to check out the website, wwgh1071.com. And this program is live every Friday morning, 11:15 a.m. until 12 p.m. On Sunday morning, we repeat at 8:15 a.m. And on Wednesday, we repeat at 3:15 in the afternoon. Again, check out the website, wwgh1071.com. Go to Program Archives. The first one under there is the Pastor Spot, and you can look at shows dating back to March of 2018. Also, the Community Christian Fellowship Sunday service now airs every Sunday on this station from 12:15 until 1 p.m. The host of the show is Pastor Steve Whitaker. 10 seconds, Pastor, sign it off.
Everybody have a wonderful week. We'll see you in church. And Susan, it's good to see you watching. Take care. God bless.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, the talking place for legendary